bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, we need to hold the truth of the gospel before our minds and hearts and live from that truth. So I'm basically saying start talking to yourself. Talk to yourself in your cubicle at work. Talk to yourself in the kitchen, in your home. We need to be soul talkers, soul preachers.
This weekend on the Songtime broadcast, we are wrapping up our series, our summer psalm series. In this message from my good friend Stephen Whitmer, we'll look at what has been our theme verse for the series, Psalm 103, which reminds us of the important principle and practice of preaching the gospel to ourselves. Stay tuned for that message, but first we'll talk about another form of talking to ourselves as we're joined by Christian counselor and author Esther Liu to talk about the subject of shame. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. When we talk about a subject as deep and as compelling as shame, it's something that hits us all in different levels. It hits us in ways that brings up some very difficult memories, and it brings us some fear and even some anxiety to the surface. But it's something that if we don't cover it, we don't talk about it, we don't bring it into the open, we tend to do exactly what shame leads to, is isolation and darkness and perpetuating a problem. Well, our guest today has written a book on the subject. Esther Liu is the author of a book called Shame, Being Known and Loved. I appreciate how she brings this all out to the surface, but does so in a 31-day devotional, really allowing us to spend some time, some quality time, with thinking through this subject. It's a real honor to have her with us today. Esther, thank you for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Why don't you get started by telling us a little bit about yourself in particular? And I know from your background that you are a Christian counselor. I think that's significant because you're dealing with a subject that is often in that sort of the person that's going to be coming to seek you for help and advice is dealing with shame. But what is it that brought you to the subject to begin with?
Yeah, I would say even in the book, the introduction, I was pretty explicit in sharing that I'm approaching the book from two perspectives. One is, like you said, as a Christian counselor who has been doing counseling at CCEF, Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation, for about 8 years now. But also the second angle that I'm coming in as an author is someone who has struggled with shame herself for as long as I can remember. And so as early as the introduction of the devotional, I'm pretty explicit that this is also a very personal work of mine, that I'm not only coming in as an expert who has helped others through their shame, but that the words that are written in that book are words that I've needed and wrestled with and worked through with God for myself. So both of those angles come up in the book.
Now, I've done a lot of these interviews, hundreds, in fact, of book interviews. And one of the things that I like to ask, and usually I save this question towards the end of the interview, is how you've benefited from the book. Because I've found that people who spend time writing the book often benefit the most from the process of writing it. But since you just mentioned how much of an impact this had on your life, as you were working through all of this stuff, a lot of things must have come to the surface. You kind of write about that. But how did that help you process through this information as you're trying to help other people process it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say I probably needed every single day of the devotional in my own life, not just in my own personal life, but even the process of writing the book was a shame-filled journey for me. And again, through during the introduction, I wrote, like, this book was almost not written. I think that's the first line of the first sentence of the devotional, actually. And that was the most honest reflection that I could give about the writing process. This book was almost not written because of shame, because every single step of the way, I doubted myself. I felt not good enough. I felt like, who am I to write a book like this? Who am I to take on this project? Why would anyone want to listen to me? I still struggle so deeply with it. How am I in a position to help others? And so, I would say, if someone asked me to encapsulate what the writing process was, I would say shame. It was a struggle through shame, and it required me wrestling through the reflections in that devotional for me to continue plodding forward in what was an arduous writing process and editing process. And yeah, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that when I read through the pages of the book, they are words that I needed for myself when I was writing it, and they're words I need for myself today. And so, yeah, it was quite an interesting journey.
I'm sure that there are people that are listening who, over the course of our conversation, their shame has just been brought to the surface. And maybe it had been, maybe they had gotten to a point where they were able to kind of set it aside for a moment, but now it's front and center, and they're steeped in shame. They're steeped in this overwhelming feeling. What sort of advice, encouragement as a Christian counselor, what kind of words can you offer for them as they are coming face to face with their shame?
Yeah, I think there are two things that immediately come to mind. One is I'm immediately taken to Matthew 5:3, which is the first of Jesus' Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And those who are face to face with their shame, with their inadequacies, with their failures and weaknesses, they know what it means to feel poor in spirit. It means you don't have sufficient resources within yourself to make your life work, to make your faith work, to make your Christian life work. It means that you realize you need help from outside of yourself. And so the first thing, I go there because so often the initial response to shame is hiding, and I need to get my act together before I can go to God. If you are face to face with your shame, that means you're face to face with your poverty and spirit. And the Lord does not disdain that. The Lord is not disgruntled with that. But he actually says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." There is something profoundly good about you being face to face with weaknesses, inadequacies, sin struggles that you realize you can't rescue yourself from. Live in that blessing by speaking honestly to God, who invites you to him, and see if there's a baby step that you can take to share that with someone else as well.
We've been talking with Esther Liu about her book. It's called Shame, Being Known and Loved. It's a 31-day devotional, and one that I would recommend to everyone listening today, because I believe this is something that we all struggle with, whether we're willing to admit it or not. But if you are struggling, this is a book for you. And if you aren't, maybe this is a book that you could use as a means of becoming a better and listening ear for those who are struggling with shame, so that we can put the gospel at the front and center of all of our conversations, both with those around us and with ourselves. If you'd like to find out more information about Esther Liu and her book, Shame, give us a call. It's 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, speaking about speaking to ourselves and what we say to ourselves that actually matters, we can really discourage ourselves by building into that shame component in our lives. But what is the antidote for that? It's preaching the gospel to ourselves, preaching the truths of what Christ has done for us. And in today's message from my good friend Stephen Whitmer, we'll look at Psalm 103, which has actually been our theme verse for this series, that professes that we ought to bless the Lord and speak to our souls of the importance of giving God the praise and the glory. Here is Stephen Whitmer.
Psalm 103 indicates that we must urge our own souls to praise God, to bless God. And I want you to see in verses 1 to 5 that David is preaching to himself. So the psalm begins and ends with David preaching to himself. Look at the first half of verse 1, beginning of the psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And now look at the second half of verse 22, the very end of the psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." David is speaking to himself. He's talking to his own soul. So when you see in verses 3 through 5 the word "you" or "your," David's talking about himself. Verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." David is talking to himself when he says, "your soul, you, your life." And this is important, I think, and somewhat unusual, because most of the time, in hymns of praise, that the psalmist is calling someone else, other people, to praise God. So this is a little different. David is not talking to other people primarily. He's talking to himself. I want to think about what that means, that David is talking to his own soul. The question that comes to my mind is, when is the last time you spoke to your own soul? When's the last time you said, soul, bless the Lord? I think we fall into two problems, often one or the other, or many times both. First, some of us have ignored our souls for years, and we never speak to them. And because we don't speak to our souls the way David does here, they miss out on the benefit of our instruction, our exhortation, our warning, our encouragement. They're just kind of neglected. Second mistake, many of us simply let our souls talk to us. And so when our soul's feeling discouraged or negative or lazy, we just receive whatever it's saying to us. We sort of sit under what our soul says to us. So it's a one-sided conversation. And David doesn't do that. He shows us that we must speak to our souls. So we need to sit our souls down and we need to have a word with them. We need to say, soul, according to verse 1, you need to get serious here about blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David's so serious about it that he repeats it in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, we need to hold the truth of the gospel before our minds and hearts and live from that truth. We need to hold it before our own souls. So I'm basically saying, start talking to yourself. Talk to yourself in your cubicle at work. Talk to yourself at the gym. Talk to yourself in the kitchen, in your home. We need to be soul talkers, soul preachers. If we're not speaking to our own souls, if we're not holding the gospel before our own souls, then we're not living as Christians, because Christians live from the gospel. You don't get it and then move on to the next stage of the Christian life. So what does it look like to speak the gospel to yourself? Number one, gospel truth. Soul, you are a sinner. You're a sinner. Don't try to pretend like you're not a sinner. Don't try to minimize the degree of your sin either. That was bad what you did. Second gospel truth, you have a Savior. The gospel is not about your perfection. The gospel is about the perfection of Jesus, who bore the wrath of God for your sin on the cross, died, was raised, so that you can live in freedom from this sin. So what's it mean to speak a gospel word to yourself? It means reminding yourself of the free gift of forgiveness from God for you in this moment, for this sin, not just generally, but for this sin. Third gospel truth, Jesus died to make you new, not just forgiven, but new. You're changed because you believed in the gospel. You're different now. Sin, yeah, you still sin, but sin doesn't fit anymore. It's like one person said, sin for a Christian is now like trying to play an LP on a CD player. You're a CD player now, and yeah, you'll continue to sin, but it won't fit anymore. It's not comfortable. God's made you new, and one day soon He will perfect you in heaven. That gives you hope, because this isn't going to last. There's something better. That's what it means to speak the gospel to yourself, to speak gospel words to your own soul, to preach to yourself. And it's so important that we do that. So we must preach to our own souls. When we do, we display the worth of God, because we display the worth of His gospel, because we live from the gospel. That's the first point. Because our souls are sinful, we must urge them to bless God. Second, praising God is about making much of Him and less of ourselves. In a hymn of praise, the reasons for praising God are the most significant part. And that's what we get in verses 6 through 19. And I want you to see how David broadens out the grounds for praise in these verses. So in verses 1 through 5, he was praising God for things God had done for him. In verse 6, he says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And now in 6 to 19, he reviews God's goodness to all of Israel, to all of His people, over the course of many years. The main thing I want us to see in verses 6 to 19 is that praising God means humbling yourself and exalting Him. So humans, David says, are made of dust, verse 14. He says, Our days are as short as the lifespan of grass or a flower in the field. Verse 17 says, God's covenant love is not like that. It's from everlasting to everlasting. And verse 19, I love this verse. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So praising God means making much of God and less of ourselves. Third, true praise of God seeks more people to join the praise. Let me just ask you, why, when you see a really good video on YouTube, do you want to share it with friends? Because I want to see them enjoy it, and I want to hear them praise it too. There's a spectacular repetition of the word bless in the last verses of this psalm, verses 20 to 22. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. That's pretty all-inclusive. All his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's not enough to just be doing it here. We got to spread. We got to spread. Got to draw other people into the praise of God. In conclusion, I've just been blown away this week as I've reflected on the fact that we need to preach to our own souls to praise God. I thought, if I was standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, would I need to persuade my soul to praise what I'm seeing? If I was being shown this exquisite diamond, perfect cut, color, clarity, carat, would I need to preach to my own soul to praise the beauty of that diamond? I don't think so, but our souls are sinful and broken and flawed, and so we need to preach to those souls to praise God.
If you've been listening to the Songtime broadcast for any length of time, then you've likely heard me express the importance of preaching the gospel to ourselves. Our motto here is Many Voices, One Message, and that message is the good news of what Christ has done. And the reason we need to preach the gospel to ourselves is because, well, there's quite honestly nobody who listens to you as much as you listen to yourself, and there's no one who is able to really address the need that you have rather than your own self, but that you are speaking the right things. As we heard from Esther Liu earlier in the broadcast, you can actually say some pretty damaging stuff to yourself, and we do that all of the time in cultivating shame in our hearts. We need to learn how to preach the gospel to ourselves so that we don't destroy, but we build up and shed light on our soul, our mind, and our bodies, bringing that into conformity into the very image of Christ. With that being said, what do we do and how do we do it? It starts with something like Psalm 103, spending some time looking at the blessings of this psalm and seeing that these are our benefits that God has given to us as joint heirs with Christ. And then sitting and lingering a little bit longer with the truths of God's word, the good news of what God has done for us. It starts by reflecting upon the fact that you're a sinner. This is the bad news. We'll get to the good news in a second. The bad news is that you fall short of the glory of God. And that's a nice way of putting it. The truth is that you are a pretty rotten scoundrel. You have been in rebellion against God because you want to be able to rule and control your own life and make your own decisions. And you don't want somebody else telling you what's right and wrong. We're all that way, myself included. We all fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and we have all been enemies of God. But then we have the hope of our salvation, as it says here in Psalm 103, that he forgives all of our iniquities. What Christ has done on the cross is to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins, to rescue us from the pit of our sin and death and all that it has in our lives. And it is through Christ's death on the cross, his burial and his resurrection, that we are forgiven of our sins and given a clothing of righteousness. It says that he crowns us with his steadfast love and mercy. We're clothed in his righteousness. That is the hope of the gospel. And we need to sit with our sin a little while. We need to reflect on it and realize that we actually are worse than we can think. And we have rebelled against God more than we could actually articulate. But God's love is so much greater than our sin that he would forgive us and make us joint heirs with Christ. That is what we need to sit with a little bit longer, lingering at the foot of the cross and then standing up and being empowered by the resurrection of Jesus. I hope that all of this encourages you, and I hope that as you learn to preach the gospel to yourself and articulate that on a daily basis, that you will grow in faithfulness and in love of God that will infect the people around you with the joy of the Spirit. If we have encouraged you, let us know. Be an encouragement to us. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. You can also look us up on social media, and on behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.